we've got so much more to discuss. So thank you for being here. Dan Lyman will join moments to break down the very latest in regards to immigration. But I just got some breaking news, and the DOJ is accusing a federal judge of making a mockery out of the separations of power in the latest SNAP appeal. The Trump administration, according to Fox News, has filed a federal appeal trying to block a lower court's decision to force the White House to bring back funding for the SNAP program. That's the food stamps program. Lawyers for the DOJ asked the First Circuit Court of Appeals to temporarily place a stay on an injunction handed down one day earlier. As many of you guys know, yesterday, a federal judge decided to take it upon herself by demanding that the Trump administration reinstate funding for the SNAP program at 100%. Again, how do they pull in that money if they don't have funding for the government? One of the many questions that people refuse to answer. The judge ordered, again, the Agriculture Department to allocate $4 billion to continue providing food stamps to 42 million people. The judge also went after the Trump administration for agreeing to fund just 65% of the SNAP benefits, saying it's likely that SNAP recipients are hungry as we sit here. So again, more political judges unraveling. Now, again, the DOJ's filing says it's making, it's referring to the judge, makes a mockery of the separations of power, and then goes after and says there is no lawful basis for an order that directs the USDA to somehow find $4 billion. What? In its couch cushions? That was the DOJ lawyer saying that. Again, I don't understand how you sit here and say that the White House needs to somehow, some way, figure out where they're going to find $4 billion. Again, they're refusing to fund the government, and that's why we're in this situation in the first place. So it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. These judges are just so out of control. Not sitting here and saying, all right, like, let's prioritize Americans and make sure Americans have funding, at least for their SNAP benefits. No, no, no. You must fund all 42 million people. And that's the reason why so many states, as you heard, 29 states are withholding this critical information, because they don't want you knowing how many illegal aliens are in our country receiving benefits at your expense, at your expense. So that's the update there. The DOJ looking to appeal that decision and throwing a few punches at that federal judge and their demands. All right, folks, I want to remind you all to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Ethylene blue is buy one, get one free. And it's going on until this weekend. So you're going to want to head on over to the shop right now and make sure you stock up on this, especially because we're out of methylene red right now. So this will be a great one to get right now, of course. And it's also 25% off site-wide. We're kicking off Black Friday and Cyber Monday early over at thealexjonesstore.com. So make sure you snag some of that. And don't miss out, of course, because this sale will end. That buy one, get one free ends Monday at midnight. So just remember that. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't downloaded the app, I don't know what you're waiting for, but download the app as well right now. If they do decide to lock that front door on us, guess what? We're going to be over at the app. So that's the best way to follow us. AlexJonesApp.com. That's AlexJonesApp.com. Do not wait. If you keep pushing it off, you might lose contact with all of us. Just kidding. You can follow me on X. But folks, make sure you do just that. All right. We're looking forward to having Dan Lyman on the show because there's a lot going on in regards to a vicious attack by an illegal alien who just also happens to be a pedophile as well. No surprise there. Joe Biden exclusively brought in the worst of the worst. And now the Trump administration has to go find all of these perverts. You know, I exclusively told you guys that it's not even funny because there's so many victims, actually. I exclusively told you guys that the Biden regime allowed illegal aliens into our country and to fly on commercial flights by simply showing their sex offender paperwork. That was their paperwork to ID them because they didn't have any government IDs. Yeah, no, that seriously happened. So again, this is not surprising that DHS is having these encounters with these pedophiles. Not surprising at all because of Joe Biden. Because of Joe Biden. So more to discuss in just a moment. Dan Lyman jumping on with us. So do not go anywhere. More on the American Journal next.
This is a major alert. I'm cutting this announcement on the evening of Tuesday, November 6, 2025. You only have until this Sunday, that's 3.5 days, to take part in the biggest sale ever at thealexshowstore.com. Store-wide, 25% off on top of all the sales, like 50% off on all the supplements like Ultra Methylene Blue and more. The widest selection of Patriot apparel, you name it, they're on the site, and you fund this operation. Now, InfoWars is supposed to be shut down. They have a state receiver. Said it could be next week or next month. It's very close. But regardless, we have the Alex Show's network, and we will continue on. And your support is funding that operation as well. So get great products and be the reason we always stay on the air at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP for $30 a month. Get $40 to spend. Special deals, special offers as well. So many other deals. Take action now. That's thealexjonesstore.com. The coordinates of 1776 worldwide.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Kicking off third hour of the program with a lot of stories to unpack. And a lot of stories you won't see in the corporate media because they're a bunch of cowards and they're too afraid to talk about it. Dan Lyman's joining me in just a few moments. And then after Dan Lyman, we're going to have a doctor on the program who is going to break down a new study that shows an alarming number of brain and spinal events, adverse events that took place after people took that COVID jab. So I'll break that down to you in just a few moments. But first, let's talk about immigration, because as many of you guys know, the Biden regime allowed millions of illegal aliens into our country, even knowing that a lot of these individuals were convicted pedophiles. They didn't care. Convicted sex offenders. They didn't care. They let them into our country at your expense, of course. And now, well, The Trump administration has the burden of trying to get rid of these people and catch them before they reoffend. And it's been a dangerous one. There's a new story up on Infowars.com right now, and it comes to us from the very great reporter, Mr. Dan Lyman. It highlights a vicious attack that took place against an ICE agent and it involved, surprise, surprise, an illegal alien who just also happens to be a pedophile. So joining us to understand what this all means is Dan Lyman. He's one of the incredible reporters over at Infowars.com and also one of the great minds behind Border Hawk as well. And he's with us now. Dan, thanks for being here. All right. So no surprise, right? We're seeing these, and they're kind of gruesome, this photo itself of the aftermath of an ICE agent's face. And they're alleging that this pedophile, who just happens to be in the country illegally, according to DHS, assaulted this ICE agent. And it's resulted in this just gruesome injury. What are some of the details behind the story?
Yeah, this one's nasty. And I'm very glad that they put out the photos like this, even though they're a little hard to look at, because people need to see just how aggressive and dangerous these illegals are when they're faced with apprehension in many cases. And so this happened in the Houston area. ICE Houston has been very active. They've launched several operations this year where they've been rounding up more than 1,000 illegals at a clip. And in many cases, these illegals have very serious criminal backgrounds. And so they just announced a couple days ago that they've been running another operation and they rounded up another 1,500 or so illegals. And in this case, this was a Salvadoran illegal. This guy has been deported twice. So as we hear in so many cases, these people have already been removed from the country. They sneak back in, they get removed again. So it's like this revolving door of this criminal illegals coming in and out of the country. So this guy's from El Salvador. He was previously released in previously deported in 2013, and then snuck back into the country, was deported again in 2020. His criminal background includes just absolutely heinous crimes, including sexual assault of a child under 17, several DUIs, child fondling, and illegally entering the U.S. at least three times now. And so when they were taking him into custody, he apparently used a hot metal coffee mug to smash this agent in the face repeatedly, burning the agent's face. And then, as you see, this horrific, gruesome lip injury that required 13 stitches to close up. And so obviously this guy's in custody now. They say that anyone who attacks ICE agents or federal immigration agents will face the full hammer of the law, but what that means is unclear. If it'll be this person's going to go to jail for a while and then get deported, or if they're just going to get deported. So it remains to be seen in this case what happens. But as we've talked about many times, assaults and attacks on ICE agents and Border Patrol agents across the country are up more than 1,000% over last year. And that's that number is actually a couple months old. I would imagine it's even higher at this point.
Yeah, and it's so crazy to me It's so crazy to me that we've allowed this to happen. And just to highlight again, due to the government shutdown, ICE agents aren't being paid right now. So not only does he have to deal with this type of garbage, but he also has to deal with the fact that he's not getting a paycheck. And it's just so insane that this is what they're going through. Again, we've allowed the worst of the worst into this country, criminals, violent criminals. And it's thanks to the Biden regime. They allowed all these foreign countries to dump their prisons and their inmates all into our country. And this is the type of garbage we have to deal with. I want to talk about more garbage, of course, because ICE was forced to shoot a suspect who attempted to ram agents during a traffic stop in California. Now, this is a reoccurring, I feel like, event in California, of course. But we've got this great story that you've put up and kind of walking us through all of it. Give us some of the backstory on this stop.
Yep. So this one happened in San Bernardino County last week on Thursday, and then information just came out about it a couple of days later. What we're seeing in a lot of cases is this is kind of like a local story where there'll be ICE activity, there'll be a shooting, there'll be a ramming, and local media will pick it up on the spot, of course, because it's happening in their area. But then a couple of days later, we'll start to get the full story out of the federal government as to what the background is. And we're going to get into this in a minute with another story, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But the initial reports from local media, mainstream media, are always totally disingenuous, often obfuscating key details about these stories. So in this one, ICE was pulling over a guy in a suspected illegal alien or a targeted, you know, they know where these people are. We actually just embedded with ICE, and they know exactly who they're going after in many cases. So they'll know details about the suspect. They'll know, you know, where they come from, what their criminal background is, and they know what kind of vehicle they drive. So in many cases, they know exactly who they're going after. These are not just randomized sweeps happening all the time. And so specifically in this case, they knew exactly who they were going after, an illegal alien. And they pulled this guy over in San Bernardino County. I believe it was Ontario area. Yes, in Ontario. And so while they were preparing to take this guy into custody, another guy drove up and started yelling at them, harassing them, interfering in their operation. And then this guy reversed his vehicle at high speed at an agent, and the agent was forced to open fire on him. And so he actually struck this guy in the shoulder, and the guy drove off. He lived in a nearby mobile home park, with his family. And apparently ran into the mobile home, let his brother know that he'd been shot in the shoulder. The family drove him to the hospital where he was treated, and then he was released into ICE custody and was arrested and charged with assaulting a federal officer. And then he was released on $10,000 bond with an ankle monitor. And so this is just one of so many cases like this where we're seeing radical leftists, we're seeing illegal aliens. This guy's immigration background is actually unclear. His name is Jimenez. There are tons and tons, millions of illegal aliens in California, so we don't know where he's from. But this is happening over and over and over again, where federal immigration authorities are in the process of targeted enforcement, and they are being ambushed by civilians, by illegals, by radical leftists, by domestic terrorists, while they're in the middle of an operation. And so it's getting very dangerous out there for these guys.
Well, Dan, I mean, it's important to highlight the fact that a lot of these people are sitting here watching the mainstream media, and they're believing the narrative that these ICE agents are just kidnapping people off the streets. And we're going to play this next audio clip, too, because there's another individual who believes that ICE is literally killing people. Listen to clip 10, because this is why so many people across this country are becoming radicalized, because they truly do believe that ICE has become this operation that's just going around grabbing people off the streets and also killing people. Take a listen.
To alert our neighbors that ICE and the modern day Nazis are coming to tear our families apart. And to those who enable this cruelty, we condemn you. We condemn Kristi Noem, Greg Bombino. We condemn every politician, every agent, every single American who stays silent watching children who are being caged, people who are being murdered by this ICE agents. But hear me now, and hear me clearly. With the blood of Emiliano Zapata, Pancho Villa, running through my veins, I will never, never live on my knees for a clown.
All right. I mean, I guess he thought that was a powerful speech, but he just sounded illiterate. Dan, what do you think of all of this? Because, again, he's referring to these ICE agents as Nazis, modern day Nazis, I believe was his exact term in that. And he's also sitting here trying to pretend like they're being kidnapped. That's not what ICE is doing. ICE is going after the worst of the worst and people who broke our immigration laws who don't belong in here. I'm sure he's probably one of them, maybe.
Very possible. So we looked into this guy a little bit. His name is Baltazar Enriquez. He's from Chicago area. He's not a nobody. He's not just some random guy off the street. He was speaking at the Refuse Fascism rally that happened on the National Mall in D.C. A couple days ago. And we actually had our reporter on the ground. Our White House correspondent, Wood, was there covering this. He wanted to see what was going on. And actually, amazingly, despite the fact that Antifa has been declared a domestic terrorist organization, they were out there in full force with actually a registration booth, which might have been a bit of a troll, but they were selling books there. We were able to purchase some books to see what Antifa is up to and flying their flag. So even though they've been declared a DTO, apparently the administration is not prioritizing just scooping them off of the National Mall. But anyways, this guy was speaking there. He's actually from Chicago. He is a community organizer there. And just a quick scan of what he's up to in Chicago is every leftist to communist agenda, you know, bullet point he's advancing and agitating for in Chicago, including, of course, resistance to ICE. And he is the president of, I got to find the name of this organization here, Little Village Community Council in Chicago. And one of the things that these people get into is that they participate in what they call rapid response teams on the ground. So if ICE is going into, for instance, Little Village, he or his people will alert the local community and they will come out in force to obstruct, impede, yell at, attack, assault ICE officers, Border Patrol officers in their neighborhoods. And so he was apparently invited to speak at the DC rally here along with his cohorts. And he said, it's okay. We know how to fight. We're not scared. If they bring 100 of them, we're going to bring 1,000 of us. If they bring 1,000 of them, we're going to bring 10,000 of us. We will fight back every minute in every moment in Little Village. They have come here to terrorize us and put fear in my city, and we say F you, he said. So this is a radical open borders militant. We don't know where he comes from. He definitely sounds very low IQ and doesn't sound like English is his first language. So I think he should be investigated for anti-American activities. That's for sure. Possibly organizing domestic terrorism on the ground and then probably his immigration background as well. But this is just one of many people who are orchestrating what is turning into quite a battle in the Windy City. And this is playing out, of course, in other cities across America. We see that the administration has turned its eye on Chicago and had launched Operation Midway Blitz about 2 months ago. And in many ways, it's been successful. They've been pulling criminal illegals and illegals off the streets. But in other ways, you see, in some ways, they're outnumbered. I mean, these agents, of course, are well-armed and they're capable of extracting themselves from pretty difficult situations in most cases. But you see what's going on. We've been told by some of our sources that some of these rammings, specifically in Chicago, are not necessarily kind of organic lunatics on the streets. There might be a little bit more to it. There might be gang involvement. There might be chop shops where these vehicles are actually being brought into after they're stolen and then repurposed as ramming projectiles, missiles to be used against agents in the streets. And so we think this is a bit more organized than just a bunch of lunatics out there. And then, of course, there are plenty of lunatics out there. You see just incredible videos out of the Chicago area, out of Sanctuary State, Illinois, where Operation Midway Blitz is going on, where you see women standing in front of ICE vehicles trying to literally stop them with their bodies. You see them attacking agents trying to rip their masks off. And so this has really turned into a battleground in Chicago, and I don't think that it portends well for the future of the mass deportation agenda with the way that the judges, the courts are getting involved and really hamstringing the operation there and trying to force Gregory Bovino to show up every day for, you know, in-person reporting to judges, wearing body cams. If this is how it plays out across the country with these kind of impediments and then this literal violent resistance on the ground, I mean, we're going to see 4 years of nonstop civil war conditions in many cities across the country.
Yeah, and I think that's likely going to be the case. And I kind of want to get your take on this, Dan. I don't understand. I haven't seen any of this, or I didn't see any of this happening under the Obama years, nor did I see it happening under the Biden years. But we all know that Obama was the mass deportator. I mean, this guy was like literally shipping these illegal aliens out by the millions, beating President Trump's numbers in his first term. Were any of these groups organized during those years, or is this something that's just recently come together?
Well, one of the things about the Obama era, and this happens with every administration, including the current administration, is that in many ways they find ways to cook the books on the numbers. And so my understanding about the Obama years was that many of these deportations really amounted to little more than pushbacks at the border. So we encounter you at the border, we send you right back over. We encounter you at sea, we send you right back to your country of origin or wherever you departed from. And so very little of the Obama deportation agenda was actual on the ground, you know, pulling people out of their cars and throwing them into an ICE vehicle and processing them and flying them out of the country. That's one thing this administration is doing a lot of, probably more than any prior administration, is literal interior enforcement, finding illegals, in most cases criminal illegals, and getting them out of the country, as opposed to pushing them back at the border. And that's really what I think a lot of the Obama numbers amounted to. But of course, we saw very little resistance against the Obama agenda, particularly from the radical left, more from the Tea Party conservatives. And I think many of them would have said the deportations simply aren't enough during that era. And many of us are still saying the deportations still aren't enough.
Yeah, no, they're not enough. But, you know, the Trump administration has work cut out for them. They have to expand the courts. They have to get these new ICE agents on board. They said they have over 100,000 applicants. But obviously the government's not being funded right now. And so that is definitely one of the many uphill battles they have to fight. Speaking of that, I know we're in the Chicago area, so let's keep it there. You also have this story up on Infowars.com right now. DHS blasts officials and the media for claiming that ICE raided Chicago daycare. Now, again, when I saw this story, it was kind of like a chuckle for me because I knew exactly what they were doing here. They were lying to the American people. But tell us a little bit about this story, too, because it's not what the mainstream media wanted the American people to believe.
No, and this is what we just touched on with the Ontario story. But these, we're actually encountering multiple stories like this every day. So you get the first videos come out on social media. The person who shot it will give their account of what was going on. And immediately, local officials, elected officials, and the mainstream media will pounce on whatever that narrative is if it fits with their narrative. So they will amplify what they claim happened during this quote-unquote arrest, this apprehension, or whichever one they're weighing in on, until all the facts come out. And that's one thing this administration has done a really good job of, particularly DHS, is laying out the facts, correcting the mainstream narrative, pushing back against that. And in some ways, that's what we're doing at InfoWars as well, you know, on a daily basis, is pushing back against the mainstream narrative in individual cases. So when I covered this story yesterday, I had to pick between a couple of different stories that were very similar. This is the one I landed on. And so in this case, this woman is an illegal alien from Colombia who was released into the interior after crossing the southern border in 2023, of course, by the Biden regime. And she's apparently been in the country ever since. She lives in the Chicago area, apparently. Last month, she paid, apparently, to have her two teenage children smuggled across the southern border. And many will be surprised to learn that they came in as unaccompanied minors and were relocated to Chicago by the Trump administration and placed temporarily into detention there. I don't know if they've been reunited with their mother. You kind of have to wonder what's going on there. What are we doing about the unaccompanied minors right now that are coming across? Why are we bringing them into the U.S.? Why are we reuniting them with an illegal alien mother in the country, apparently, rather than sending them back to where they came from? But that's a story for another day. This woman was pulled over during targeted enforcement, as we talked about earlier. The agents knew exactly who they were going for. She was actually in a vehicle being driven by a male accomplice. His immigration background and criminal history remain unclear. They said they're going to be bringing those details to light soon. But instead of complying with ICE, they actually raced to what is apparently this woman's place of employment, which is a preschool daycare center in the Chicago area. And she attempted to run into the building. And apparently it's kind of a double door system at this strip mall where it's located, or wherever it was, at this business. And the employees locked the interior doors after she got inside, after they saw law enforcement grappling with her, apparently. And so she was locked into kind of the vestibule area of the building, and they pulled her back outside, arrested her, took her into custody, as well as the male accomplice. She apparently lied multiple times during her encounter, saying she didn't know who the guy was. She didn't know whose vehicle it was. Apparently, it was her vehicle. And so the local officials. We have Chuy Garcia. We have multiple Illinois Congress people that are have been pushing this narrative that ICE went in, stormed a daycare, targeted a daycare, and ripped a teacher out of the room and arrested this poor innocent woman. And the school has actually pushed back against ICE as well. They've closed the school until next week. They've pushed back against DHS, saying this was basically barbaric tactics. They didn't show up with a judicial warrant. This was unacceptable. But what's amazing is no one's talking about the fact that apparently this daycare or preschool hired an illegal alien to care for very young children, instruct and care for them. Very troubling. You have to wonder if the parents were aware of that or not. The school made no mention of that in their statement. They just basically backed this lady and attacked ICE for arresting her. So she's in custody now, and the NDHS has pushed back against the initial reports that, you know, ICE raided a daycare in Chicago.
Yeah. And I remember when it happened, too, in California, and there was an alleged sex offender there as well, working and I think living as it was in a, it was a home as well. So I remember that was just a couple of months ago. So, you know, people who want to sit there and give their fake outrage, realize something. If ICE didn't go over there and save those children who were in the same home, the same building as a sex offender, gosh, only knows what could have happened there. I mean, it's just so upsetting that this is what the left continues to push, and how the media is just so cooperative on that front. Dan Lyman, thank you for all the incredible work you're doing. I know you're doing a great job over at Infowars.com. And there's so much lies out there. You know, it's one of my favorite platforms to go to when I'm trying to sift through the lies. But most importantly, too, you guys highlight all the great work that ICE is doing, and we really should be supporting them as well. And you do a great job, too, on BorderHawk.news as well. So I want to remind our audience that Dan Lyman, thank you so very much. We appreciate it as always.
Thank you, Brianna. Have a great day.
You as well, my friend. You as well. All right, guys. So we're going to be discussing a little bit later in the show. We're going to be talking about how there is a new study out there that highlights the long-term issues regarding the COVID jabs, but most importantly, there are 63 serious brain and spinal cord adverse events that have taken place in a new peer-reviewed study. We're going to be joined by one doctor who is going to break all of that down for us, because I've heard a lot of issues related to the COVID jabs, obviously, but this one is new to me. So I can't wait to hear about that. So we'll get there soon. I'm also going to be in a little bit playing a soundbite for you, because it appears that Eric Holder is actually listing his plan to stack the Supreme Court. That's one of the big pushes that Democrats are aiming for. So I guess he's saying the quiet part out loud. So we'll have that soundbite for you when we come back from the commercial break. For the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Methylene Blue is on sale. Buy one, get one free, of course. That's going on right now. It's also 25% off site-wide over at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, this is only going to last until Monday at midnight. So you don't want to miss out on this offer. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com right this very second, because we've got a lot going on over there. Folks, I'm keeping my eye on that Nancy Mace story that I was kind of sounding off about earlier in the show. Fox News is also reporting about the lawsuit that has been filed against Mace. Again, this was reported originally by the Daily Mail. They claim that they exclusively obtained the court filings first of a man who's accusing Nancy Mace of lying and making up a false story about her, about him regarding a sexual assault. Again, Nancy Mace has been very vocal about it. I've told you all about it. It's interesting to sit back and watch as it unravels, but she did issue threats to sue the Daily Mail and to sue an independent journalist for simply citing what was in a court filing. So Fox News now jumping into that by detailing the claims that were made again. Let's see. She threatened to sue the Daily Mail and this independent journalist, but will she go after Fox News? I don't think Nancy Mace is going to want to keep picking these fights with these mainstream media outlets as well as these independent journalists. That's my gut feeling there. We'll keep discussing as it develops, but don't go anywhere. There's more to discuss on the American Journal next.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing. But I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine. And he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's
for
good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones' picture is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him, and I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio, and 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you, because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back. The American Journal. We're excited to have you guys on here. Of course, a lot going on all around the country. We've been kind of recapping what's been going on, but I don't want to shift your attention away from the results of the COVID jabs. Many of you guys know, as somebody who lost their job over this, is something that I'm very passionate about, and uncovering what is actually happening to those that did take these jabs is a top priority, and we're learning more and more about it every single day. There's a new study out, and I found this on X yesterday, and I haven't heard about this angle in regards to the serious brain and spinal cord adverse events that have taken place for those who have taken the jabs. Now, obviously, this is something that is very, very important to us, and joining us now is Nicholas Hulsker. He, of course, is an epidemiologist and administrator at the McCullough Foundation. And he outlines all of this over at thefocalpoints.com, which is a Substack page where they outline and they push and they promote all of these really important studies that you should all look into. I want to thank you for being here, Nicholas, and kind of wanting to give you the stage here to walk us through this new study that you guys have released. It just kind of outlines, again, these brainal and spinal cord adverse events. And obviously, there's now 63 links here that I want to just say that's very, very alarming. So what are some of the details behind this?
Yes, well, thanks for having me. And yeah, this study is very, very, very alarming. So what we did was we looked in the vaccine adverse events reporting system back from the 90s all the way up until 2024. And we compared how much more likely adverse events were occurring with the COVID shots compared to the flu shots or all the other vaccines since the 90s. When it occurs two times more often, that's defined by the CDC and FDA as a serious safety signal. We identified 63 of these serious safety signals, and they include all sorts of very bad adverse events for the brain and spinal cord, such as meningitis. So inflammation of the brain's protective barrier, such as encephalitis, inflammation of the brain itself, spinal cord inflammation, myelitis, Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease, the human equivalent of mad cow disease. This was 800 times more likely with the COVID shots compared to all of these others. And so it's inducing this protein misfolding in the brain, this prion-like disease. These infectious proteins are propagating in the central nervous system. So this is very, very serious. We identified brain, central nervous system, brain, and spinal cord abscesses, these pus-filled lesions filled with infection. So what appears to be happening, and also demyelination syndromes, these are when the protective sheath on your neurons becomes destroyed. So it literally wipes those out. And then herpes reactivations in the central nervous system as well. So why this is happening, we identified, is because the blood-brain barrier is literally becoming destroyed. It's allowing these pathogens, the vaccine mRNA, lipid nanoparticles, the spike proteins, the frame-shifted proteins, and the misfolded prion-like proteins, these amyloidogenic proteins, to enter the brain from the blood. So this is very, very serious. And we have to remember 80% of Americans took at least one dose of these injections. So this is not something to play around about. And this explains why a recent study came out about a month ago that cognitive impairment is skyrocketing in America right now. It's not going down. It's just skyrocketing. A study by Dr. James Thorpe and colleagues corroborated this data, found 86 serious neuropsychiatric adverse events with these shots, including homicidal behaviors, psychosis, schizophrenia, suicidal ideations, violent behavior, all sorts of horrible things, depression, the brain clots, 3,000 times more likely. And you could just keep going on and on and on, delusions. So these two studies now indicate that the blood-brain barrier is becoming destroyed. The neurons are becoming destroyed. So you will literally have less brain cells. And unfortunately, we see these manifestations of these psychiatric conditions.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you this. I got a couple of questions to follow up with this because this is just like an absolute bombshell of adverse reactions to the jabs that most of us probably didn't know are taking place. We had some insight. We knew that this was causing heart issues, but the depths of this are even more significant than most even understood. I know that there was the issue of, let's just say, Pfizer. Pfizer forced experts to drag them into the courts to get their 55,000 pages of data that they had kind of put together, their information that they've put together. And they forced them to sue. Now, I know that information was officially given over, and several experts, including Dr. Naomi Wolf, were sifting through it and finding all of these things. Was any of this known prior to the big push for Americans to get the jabs?
Yes, particularly things such as encephalitis and some of these infectious reactivation syndromes. A lot of this was already known beforehand. They knew about all of this. We have to remember that Pfizer is a criminal enterprise. You look at their track record, they have over 100 criminal penalties documented, spanning all sorts of things such as bribery, false advertising, kickback schemes, all sorts of horrible things. They've paid out over $10 billion in these criminal fines. And so, yeah, you know, they're not to be trusted. They fudged the trial data. They manipulated the trial data. There was fraud going on. There was 20 deaths in the original trial with their injections, with their mRNA shots. There was only 14 in the placebo group. So it literally killed more in the original trial. But they went ahead anyways. They tested all the stuff. They tested the biodistribution in rats before they rolled it to humans. They found it went to every organ system, to the brain, to the spleen, to the reproductive system, ovaries, to the heart, to the bone marrow. It went literally everywhere. But they didn't care. And they rolled it out anyways. And now the population's facing the consequences.
Yeah. And you mentioned the ovaries. You know, so many women that I know are trying to get pregnant, trying to start families with their husbands, and they're struggling. So many people, and it's shocking to me because I consider these people to be healthy, but they're having to undergo IVF. It's just something that they shouldn't have to deal with. But again, I mean, just between the jabs alone and other things that have happened, environmental toxins that we've taken in, it's no surprise that women and men are even having these issues, these infertility related issues. We're really competing up against a lot. But when it comes to these brain and spinal related adverse events, how common were these? Is this something that's a rare issue that's taking place amongst those who have taken the jab? Or is this more common than we understand?
This is much more common than we understand, because we have to remember these reports to VAERS, they're underreported by a factor of about 100.
Yeah.
So any one of these reports in VAERS, we can expect 100 times more actually occurring in the real world. And so since billions and billions of doses are given, we can expect probably at least 100,000 of these serious central nervous system adverse events among the population, probably in the millions globally for sure. And, you know, again, this is just the central nervous system, which is obviously vital, right? You don't want to be disrupting, you know, your literal brain and spinal cord, which kind of controls, you know, your nerves go through the spinal cord, control your entire body. You do not want that to be disrupted. But we found so many other things as well now, and all these other studies coming out. You mentioned reproductive health. A study came out by Karaman and colleagues this year. They injected mice with mRNA shots. It destroyed 60% of their non-renewable egg supply, the primordial follicles. 60%. These don't come back. And so all the other eggs are kind of spawned from these base versions into primary, secondary, tertiary. So there will be no base supply. And this is corroborated now in human data by Manichi and colleagues. With 1.3 million women in this study, they compared the vaccinated to the unvaccinated. The vaccinated women had 33% lower successful conception rates. So this is very worrisome. We see birth rates declining. They're at all-time lows now. And so this mass mRNA injection program appears to have functioned as a mass sterilization program.
Yeah, it's gut-wrenching. It really is. I remember when I was going through my issues over at Fox, when I was looking and seeking attorneys and legal experts to help me out with my battle with them, one woman who said she doesn't agree with me on my political beliefs, but she did take the jab herself, and she does believe, sadly she took it when she was pregnant, but sadly she believes that it was the reason why she was dealing with a miscarriage. She had a miscarriage just a couple of months prior to speaking to me, and she said that's the only thing that I could think of that happened. And, you know, this is the problem, right? Because we saw all these experts who said, oh, your babies are fine, you could still take the COVID jabs if you are pregnant. And now we know that they didn't have much in the way of data to prove just that, but they still pushed it on to these women who trusted them blindly. And it's just really upsetting. But it's not just that. It's also these mRNA jabs are becoming more and more widespread. It's not just COVID vaccines anymore that they're trying to kind of expand. And this has been going on for a long time now. But there's been very little in the regards to discussions about turbo cancer and what these jabs are actually doing and how they are increasing turbo cancer. I know many think that turbo, in the mainstream media especially, think that turbo cancer is a myth. But then they can't seem to explain why so many young people are developing cancer and how it's developing and how it's spreading at a very rapid pace. So I know you guys over at thefocalpoints.com have just outlined another study in regards to that. Break down how mRNA vaccines are linked to turbo cancer for us.
Yeah, well, here at the McCullough Foundation, we've already published like 5 peer-reviewed papers on the mechanisms behind this. This is a very real syndrome. So what turbo cancer is, which was already defined now in a paper by Dr. Paul Merrick, it's a real syndrome. It's not a myth like the mainstream media claims. Mm-hmm. It's these sudden onset cancers. So you get the mRNA injection, and then you'll have a sudden onset or relapse of a pre-existing cancer that's usually detected at a very late stage. So it kind of progresses extremely rapidly. It's treatment resistant, and it's usually these very rare cancers that appear in young individuals. And sometimes they get the diagnosis and then they die shortly thereafter because of just how aggressive these are. And so one plausible mechanism that we believe is central to this, and this has also many other implications, was we actually published last month the first peer-reviewed paper documenting the very first evidence of genomic integration of this mRNA vaccine genetic material in a human being. We had a 31-year-old woman. She developed stage 4 bladder cancer within a year of 3 mRNA shots. We looked in her circulating tumor DNA, performed what's called multi-omic analysis, transcriptomic and proteomic analysis. And we found literally within her chromosome 19, in the circulating tumor DNA, we found a 20 base pair segment of the Pfizer DNA plasmid reference sequence. And so it's this DNA is now a non-human chimeric hybrid. It goes from human to Pfizer to human. There's about a 1 in a trillion chance this was just an anomaly. And so now that we're seeing this genomic integration, we don't know how many people it's occurred in, but we suspect those at high risk of this integration are those with these turbo cancers. But then we also published another study. It was actually just accepted in a PubMed.gov journal. We actually found that these mRNA shots and those who develop cancer, they dysregulate thousands of genes, thousands, including those essential for tumor surveillance. P53 and BRCA, they're being turned off. It's allowing these cancers to propagate. Genes related to mitochondrial function are becoming disrupted. And genes related to immune function are also literally turning off.
Okay.
And so...
I was going to ask you this question, and sorry to cut you off there. What would be the purpose? If we know that this is disrupting our genes, why would they be even continuing to develop these mRNA vaccines and then lie to the American people and pretend like they're safe?
Right. Because... Our public health agencies, our government, they're still captured by what we call the biopharmaceutical complex, this transnational syndicate that appears to be central in rolling out all this mRNA technology. With all this evidence we have, it's absolutely shocking that they're still allowed to administer this. It's shocking we see Albert Bourla in the White House, $70 billion deal to make cancer mRNA injections to cure the cancers they caused.
Yeah.
And so this all needs to change. This has to stop fast. We have to remember 2 massive population studies just came out looking at COVID vaccines and cancer risk. Over 8.7 million people combined in these studies. They found that the mRNA shots increase your risk of 7 types of cancer. 7. Colorectal, bladder, breast, thyroid, all sorts of cancers, gastric, all these cancers are increased significantly in the vaccinated compared to the unvaccinated with these large, massive data sets. So it's clear these shots unleashed a turbo cancer epidemic.
Yeah, I think it's very obvious that this was going on. The fact that they're not slow rolling this tells me that they know there's something wrong here. I truly believe, in my opinion, that that's what's going on here, is that they know that this is happening. I mean, any big pharmaceutical company you would hope would have our best interest, unless they are, of course, profiting off of the injuries or the long-term health issues that they're creating. And that's exactly what we're seeing unravel here. And I want to remind our audience, I think I was the first one to call out President Trump when he recently got his booster shot. The White House pushed out his health exam in an email to all of us, and it was late on a Friday evening. And I think most people are out drinking, having fun. But I, like the loser I am, sit at home and read emails that we get from the White House. And I was like, oh, what is this? He took the booster? It was absolutely jarring that he took the booster, and it's really upsetting that people around him aren't having serious conversations with him. Yesterday, we saw what happened at the White House and the Oval Office in regards to the big push to make weight loss medication cheaper. Sounds great, but we don't know the long-term effects. I know President Trump even said that he looked behind and was like, do we know if this is going to be good for people in the long term? We'll figure it out later, and we'll just put out a warning later when it happens. But that shouldn't be the case. And I think Americans need to see through that and realize that although we agree with President Trump on a lot of his policies, when it comes to these big pharmaceutical companies, that he's a little, this is his blind spot, it seems like. He doesn't really understand, and it's okay to criticize him on that front. But also, he doesn't have a lot of data to kind of sift through, because I noticed when just dealing with my own personal experiences, I have family members who, one particular person who was injured due to taking the COVID vaccines. And the first round, she became very injured, and it was instant. Within 4 hours, was dealing with seizures. And very few people wanted to discuss that. And it was disturbing, but the doctors refused to even fill out a VAERS report. They didn't want to fill this out. Doctors are very reluctant to do that. So President Trump doesn't even understand, I think, the full scope of the injuries that are caused, because a lot of doctors are fearful of filing a VAERS report on a vaccine-injured person. Do you understand, or do you know exactly why they're so fearful in doing that? Is there something that penalizes them for filling out that VAERS report?
No, nothing penalizes them. What appears to have happened is they are now captured under mass psychosis still since 2021. We have to remember about 99% of doctors took these shots, recommended it to their patients. And so since they've given it to thousands of patients, they've taken 6 doses themselves. They can't backtrack. They can't get out of it in their mind to realize what a horrible mistake that they have made. And so they will utilize confirmation bias on all of the falsified data that the pharma companies put out and still cling to the false reality that they're safe. So that appears to be what's happening. They got to understand what's happening. They got to read these studies coming out showing all this harm. And you're right. Trump has done many great things, but when he does things like this, when he takes gene transfer injections that are deadly, carcinogenic, and DNA altering, you know, we have to call that out. We cannot just simply ignore that.
Yeah. And I think Americans need to realize that, listen, we trust the president on a lot of issues. This just seems to be a blind side for him. And I think that clip of him yesterday that we played earlier in the show of him admitting that he doesn't know the long-term effects of these weight loss drugs that they're now making cheaper and easily accessible for the American people, I think that needs to be the soundbite that so many honest news outlets need to be blasting out there, just so people understand that although it's great that he's making pharmaceuticals inexpensive for Americans, that we need to realize that we don't know the long-term effects of these drugs, and we really need to be pushing for Americans to learn more, but also live and lead healthier lives. I think that's the big key point to all of this. Nicholas, I want to thank you for all the incredible work you guys are doing over at thefocalpoints.com. That is your Substack page, thefocalpoints.com. You're also a great follow on X. You did a great job outlining this and simplifying it for someone who is not a medical expert like myself. So we appreciate that, of course. So thank you for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. All right, folks, I wanted to pull your attention in because Eric Holder just said the quiet part out loud. We're going to play the soundbite for you. It's Eric Holder apparently saying that they are, in fact, on the left, looking to expand the courts. Take a listen.
No, the point that you make there is an extremely important one. The courts have generally held, if you look at what's happening at the district court level, at the court of appeals level, doesn't matter who the president was who appointed the judge. The judges have ruled, I think, courageously and correctly. It's only when you get to the Supreme Court that you see these problems start to arise, and it's the use of this overuse of the shadow docket. You know, by taking these cases and essentially deciding them without hearing any oral argument, without any adequate briefing, deciding these really important matters in that way challenges the legitimacy of the court and does an untold amount of damage to the legal fabric of this nation. I think, you know, the reality is, it pains me to say this, I think the Supreme Court is a broken institution. And it's something that has to be, I think, a part of the national conversation in 26 and in 28. what are we going to do about the Supreme Court? And I think that we have to think about, again, talking about the acquisition and the use of power. If there is a Democratic trifecta in 2028, and I think the possibility of that is pretty good, Supreme Court reform is something that has to be considered. Term limits, I think, at a minimum, potentially expanding the court is something I think that also should be considered. We cannot leave in place without a discussion, at least, and I think without substantive reforms being put in place, this Supreme Court as it is presently constituted.
As you just heard there, that is Eric Holder pushing to expand the court, something President Trump has been telling you about. He's been telling you that when Democrats get back in power, they're going to do just that. And Eric Holder is telling you they're going to do just that. That's the quiet part said out loud. Normally, you only hear that from people like AOC, but now Eric Holder is getting very comfortable telling the American people that that is the plan. They don't like the fact that this is a conservative Supreme Court. And so, because, well, they don't want to follow the laws of this country, they're going to put their own biased judges on the Supreme Court. President Trump, again, sounding off throughout the day on Truth Social about just terminating the filibuster. He's made it very apparent. He truly believes that if Democrats get in power, that they will also terminate the filibuster. Nothing's holding them back. But most importantly, they're going to stack the courts. Folks, Democrats are trying their very best to take over this country. It's a commie takeover. They do not like our election process, and they've done everything to attack it. And as you just heard Eric Holder say there, next up is stacking the Supreme Court. When they say it, listen, listen. President Trump isn't being dramatic on Truth Social when he's telling you it's now time to terminate the filibuster. Because unfortunately, well, let's be honest here, Democrats, when they get back in power, they're going to do that. They're going to make this a top priority. They have declared war on this country. Republicans are now just starting to catch on. I don't even think they're there yet. But the reality is these people have not only spewed violence over these last few years, of course, but they have fed the radicals within their own party, people who are mentally ill. And so next up, like you heard just there, they're going to be pushing to expand the Supreme Court. They don't like it when judges rule not in their favor, because this is a communist takeover. I don't think we have anyone on the left these days that isn't going to speak out on these issues. Maybe just John Fetterman, senator from Pennsylvania. I think that's about it. I think everyone else is just cowardly and they're afraid. They're afraid. You know, Chuck Schumer wouldn't endorse Orrin Madani. There was a reason for that. He knows it's getting bad in New York. He doesn't want his face anywhere near it. But it's too late. Democrats, instead of speaking out, are taking a knee to the communists that have taken over their party. And Eric Holder has been one of them for quite some time now. All right, folks, I want to remind you to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's 25% off site-wide right now. It is our early Black Friday Cyber Monday sale going on right now for thealexjonesstore.com. Methylene Blue is also buy one, get one free. That is only until Monday. So if you got to stack up, now is the time. Head on over to the shop, grab some of that. Again, 25% off. You might as well just buy some great Christmas gifts for everyone on your list over at thealexjonesstore.com. Plus, if you have a liberal family member like me, I mean, we have some great shirts that your liberal family members would love over at thealexjonesstore.com. Alex is up next.
Now, I'm backed by you, the listeners and viewers, and we're in major legal battles, trying to shut us down, ongoing, set up the new network, all of it. When you go to thealexjonesstore.com, I don't own that. That's our sponsor that funds InfoWars and the Alex Jones Network. It is critical to buy the products there. Plus, I'm only going to sell you stuff that really works. We're about to sell out probably today in the Ultra Methylene Red, first run that complements the Methylene Blue. It is an incredible formula, so good for you. Takes about an hour to kick in. The Methylene Blue takes about 30 minutes. It is not a stimulant, but it feels like one. This is so clean. The clarity is so amazing. Both these products are insanely good. Take advantage of the sale right now. Sign up for auto ship, cancel any time, and get your future order at 50% off, including your first order, even though it's about to sell out. TheAlexJonesStore.com is unleashing an entire month of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega deals, but each deal only runs for a few days. 30 straight days of freedom-fighting discounts that are absolutely empowering your body, your focus, your clarity, your health, and our operation. All you got to do is take action and try them. We have an 80-plus% reorder on things like Methylene Blue. Nobody has that. That's how good these work.
Right now, get 25% off site-wide on top of all of the other big sales. That's every supplement like Ultramethylene Red, Life Force, every shirt, hat, and hoodie, slash 25% off while supplies last. But I'm warning you, this could end at any moment. Midnight tonight, noon tomorrow. Nobody knows because it's all about how fast the sales come in. Take action. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
There is a disturbance in the Force. I feel the presence of an invader.
That's right, Vader. I'm taking this methylene red to make it available for everyone at TheAlexJonesStore.com.